How many of you actually think of Thanksgiving as a sort of a weapon? Yes, it is. It certainly is. And Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The putting on of the armor of God has to be done with a spirit of thanksgiving. All the pieces of the armor, we're not going to go through them tonight, but all the pieces of the armor have to be worn with gratitude to God. I can remember going to supply at Griffiths Air Force Base when I first arrived with my list of things that I needed. And, I wasn't in infantry, of course. I was an Air Force guy. So when I went to supply, I needed uniform stuff. I needed combat boots. And I needed some other things to be issued. And I remember after I turned in my slips and I got a signature and I was leaving, I had a beautiful bag filled with brand new shirts and brand new pants. And I thought to myself, there are other people that have to go to these supply places and get ammunition and weapons, and they're in different parts of the world. And I was very grateful for those people. But I wonder how thankful they are when they get their stuff. And usually they're probably not thankful until they're in the middle of a battle and they need that equipment. And, you know, how thankful are we that those soldiers can get that equipment? So when I think about warfare, I think about gratitude and the connection that warfare and gratitude have. But for the saint, there's often times when we are surrounded by the demonic and surrounded by depression, discontentment, and discouragement. And those things really come from the father of lies in John 8:44. I want us as the people of God to consider this. Every time our attitude is off base, every time we are discontent, disgruntled, depressed, disengaged, or discouraged, it is the result of a lie. It is the result of a kingdom, and it comes from hell. It is an attack against us, and our first line of defense needs to be thanksgiving. The first line of defense needs to be, Lord, I thank you, not for the situation that I'm in, but for you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for my pastor. I thank you for the preaching of God's word. I thank you that I have a Bible. I thank you that I have godly friends. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the promises. I thank you for prayer. I thank you for worship. I thank you for love. And when you start talking like that to God, tell me that discouragement won't flee. Tell me that depression won't have its demise. Tell me that discontentment won't run from you, because you're standing with thanksgiving up to the lies from hell. Do you understand this? The lie is that God's withholding. And that was the very first lie told in the garden, that God's withholding from you. And if he really loved you, really, if he really, really was for you, he would let you be like him. He's withholding from you. See, first he's withholding, then you have suspicion cast about God and about God's people. And next thing you know, you've gone headlong into these problems. And the solution is always an attitude of thanksgiving. God, I thank you for, as Julia said, clean water. You know, I was wondering, how many of us every day say, thank you, God, I can just turn this faucet on and get a drink of water. I can just turn on this faucet and get a drink of water. And then, as Lori said, I can get rid of this water easily by flushing this toilet. And then they got water coming in and good water taking stuff away. And thank God for that, that we have that here. Because many of you have experienced it. We lived there 6 months and didn't have that in Liberia. And, it's a small taste. It wasn't a great sacrifice for us, because we knew at any minute we could get out of there. I mean, there was a connection, as Kathy said earlier, to hope. And our hope was connected to a reality. And the fact that we didn't have to live in that permanently at any given moment, if I wanted out of there, I could fly out of Liberia in a given moment. I didn't have to live with no water. I didn't have to live with no toilet flushing. I didn't have to live with no lights. So for us, it wasn't as difficult as it would be for someone who lives in it and has no choice but to live in it. There are many people who have conditions that they have no choice. And, you know, so Thanksgiving is most definitely a weapon. Thanksgiving is something you ought to pull out against depression, pull out against anxiety. When you get punched in the stomach by a situation, you pull out Thanksgiving and you figure out a way to get there. So I don't always feel like it. You know what? Thanksgiving is not an emotion. Thanksgiving is a verb. Thanksgiving is an action. Thanksgiving is a demonstration. Thanksgiving means that I will reach out to God with gratitude. Thanksgiving is about not collecting the dust that the devil would like me to collect. Jesus said in Luke 10:21, he said this, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good to you in your sight." And he's talking about truth and deep truths. And he said, "I'm thankful that you've revealed deep truth to us and to these people." And how beautiful it is when God's people are thankful for the deeper truths that they receive from God. One of the things Jesus thanked God for. Another thing he thanked God for was the plan of redemption in which he'd give his life when he took the bread. And what's the first thing he did when he took that bread? He gave thanks. He wasn't just saying grace. He was thanking God that redemption was close, was nigh. In Psalm 97, verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks. Rejoice. Give thanks. Rejoice. Give thanks. Two different words. Rejoice is one thing. Give thanks is another. Rejoice, samach, S-A-M-A-C-H, means be glad in heart. Be glad in heart. Be glad in heart. And be thankful is yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada. And it means to throw. It comes from a root word, to throw. And it means literally to extend the hand. And that's where we get, and I just learned this tonight after all these years. You know, remember the wave offering? They'd take the bread and they'd wave it before God. And then the Bible says, lift up holy hands. That's not about what many people think it is, some type of, it's more spiritual to worship that way. It's the word yada. It's thanks. To throw up the hand. It's literally to extend the hand to God. That's what yada means. And what I'm saying is, Lord, you have given me all these things. I'm extending my hands to God. It's thanksgiving. Whether I physically lift my arms to God and my hands to God, and the Bible says lift your arms to God. If I physically do that, what I'm really saying is, Lord, you've given me all this. All I am, all I have, everything around me. And you're changing me. I love some of the testimonies tonight. I love some because what they are, we're thankful that God is transforming our lives. I want to tell you a quick story. I was on my way back from Auburn, and I saw a branch in the road coming from the other. And I almost hit it, but this woman swerved and hit the branch. and it moved it out of the way. And I was glad it didn't hit my car. I thanked God for that. I was running behind. I would have been late if I'd hit that branch. There's a powerful relationship between where I am right now and the level of thanks I give. You know, there's a lot of people that don't grow because they're not thankful. It's true. It's true. You know, the English, when they left that the shores of early America, and they had taken a group of slaves with them before we meet, not Somerset, the other guy, what was his name? Squanto. Squanto's tribe was literally wiped out by smallpox, and the smallpox were attributed to the English that were there. So here the English come, first group, one of the first groups come, and they bring smallpox, which wipes out a tribe. They take the rest of the tribe back as slaves. Squanto survives. And you know, you wonder, here's a survivor. God preserved one man who then was there. And when these English people came back, and when these other pilgrims came back from all kinds of countries, they weren't just English, by the way. The pilgrims weren't just from England, you know. They were Dutch, there were a whole bunch of people that came. Some of them were business people, and they weren't there for religious freedom. Eventually, the religious zealots came because they wanted to be free and worship God, and that's absolutely true. But imagine, God preserved this one man who taught them how to plant corn and taught them how to fish. And when this group came with Captain Smith, and the majority of them died. There were only about 50 of them left at that point. Maybe even a little bit less than that. And there were 70 people that came from this tribe that begins with the W. I don't even remember the name of the tribe. 3-day feast. 3 days. We only do one meal. 3-day feast. Pretty incredible. And to celebrate that without really thinking about the sovereignty of God, that God preserved that man. It's interesting. So thanks be to God for his preservation of different things in our life, but also thanks be to God for his removal of certain things in our life. You know, God's willing to work in our life to remove certain things. Sometimes it's control that God will remove in our life. Sometimes it's distractions that God will remove in our life. You know, at one point, Isaiah, very distracted by his relationship with King Uzzah, God removes King Uzzah. And then finally, Isaiah is able to see the God high and lifted up when his train filled the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. Psalm 136 starts with a really great declaration. It's kind of repeated throughout the psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his mercy endures forever. The powerful relationship between God's mercy and thanksgiving. That we were at his mercy, are at his mercy, and he has chosen to show us mercy. Thank you, God. When it all comes down, and when all the dust settles and everything else is cleared, and the things God preserves are preserved, and the things God takes away, he takes away, what's left to look at is the fact that God has been merciful. Because at any given moment, he could destroy us, if you think about it. At any given moment, he won't. He has chosen not to do that for his people. But God is a gracious God. He is so incredibly gracious. And so give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. the realization that I deserve absolutely nothing and that God has given me everything is great cause for thanksgiving. Yeah, we got stuff that people don't have. True. We got freedom. We can vote. Great. Beautiful. Love it. I'm very thankful for that. But above everything else is the mercy of God, right? I mean, really above everything else. It really, and others said that. I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful that I'm not going to hell. And I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'm thankful that it didn't cost me anything. Because I would have never been able to pay that debt that I owed for sin. And I'd never be able to pay any kind of entrance fee to get into heaven, whether it was good works or having a good heart, because I would have neither of those. But God has chosen by his mercy to extend salvation to anybody. And when the Spirit of God drew me, I said yes, and I became a Christian. And for that, I'm the most profound thanks for that. God, we thank you for this night tonight. We do pray you bless the body of Christ. There's many people traveling over the next day or two. We pray for the elder Menzo and his wife, and different guys who are gone. Harry and B are gone. They're on the road. And I want to thank you for the leadership of this church. I want to thank you for the men who have been not just supportive, but they've been the visionaries. They painted the pictures, and they cast the vision, and they held fast, and they worked things through and talked out the details. And I'm just so grateful we have good leaders here who have led the way to where we are and are leading us into all the world with the gospel. And our prayer over the holidays, as we open the building up, as we continue to use this chapel, I pray that you would bring people to us, Lord, that you would bring the lost here, that you would help us to reach out to people. It's not just the swinging open of the door that'll bring people here, but the building of relationships that we have out in the community. Help us to build those relationships. Help us to invest in people. And just be a light, even with our foibles, the kind of the mistakes we make, our weaknesses. I pray, God, that because you are so merciful, that you'll call people in our community to you, and that you'll use us to win them to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, make your path straight, and that you would have a fine day tomorrow with your families and with one another.